blessing you and honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wait. My voice is cut.
Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. Come on, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop Him? I said, who can stop Him?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop Him? Come on, sing it again. Who can?
Who can stop the Lord?
One more time.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
He's worthy. No greater love had God had for his children that he would send his only son to bear my sin and my guilt. Amen. Here we go. Blameless life given a sacrifice. See him there, all in the name of love, broken yet glorious, all for the sake of us.
This is oh, Jesus,
all
yes,
his glory. Hey!
This morning, we want to pray for the sick folks in the house. This morning, if you're sick and you need God to heal your body, no matter what it is, we're going to ask you to come down this aisle down here. We're going to minister to you. We're just going to have you stand in a line. My wife and I got both of our hands on you. Release the power of God in your life. My wife has some verses she wants to read.
First, I just want to say the Word of God declares that faith comes by hearing His Word. So we're going to read a couple scriptures for you today to build that faith to expect to receive. Psalms 103, 2 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases." And then it says, I probably should just quote them, but I want to read them verbatim. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." Your body is a temple, a possession of God's. He dwells inside of you, and all sickness and disease is healed in Jesus' name. He came and healed every person. Every time they came to Him in the Word of God, He healed every person of all diseases.
You know, last night I went and got my trail cams for all the hunters out there. Went and got my trail cams, and I had one deer and a coyote and a man six times. I had more man than there was animals. And I said to myself, he's trespassing. He's trespassing on the land. And I went and I put up another posted sign the other day because I just thought, my wife and I, when we were out, she said, "I think somebody's on the property." And there's a trespass. You know something? When somebody's trespassing on your property, you don't just let them keep coming. You've got to take position, for your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that sickness is trespassing on God's land. You're God's property, amen? Turn to someone and say, "My body's not my own."
My body is not my own.
He bought it with a price.
He bought it with a price.
Therefore, all sickness is trespassing when it's in your body.
Yes.
So
amen.
Today we're going to pray with you. Is that fair?
Amen. I just want to say, too, in those scriptures that we read, every sin was forgiven. Because as Christians, sometimes I think we have excuses why we remain sick. So this morning, we're going to throw every one of those away, and we're going to receive all of the benefits. Forget not all of the benefits God has for everyone healed. There were none sick among them. He healed everyone.
You don't hold back
relentless in pursuit. In every turn, I come face to face with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me
again?
You chase me down.
Come on,
you seek me out.
How could I?
How could I be lost when you?
One more time, you chase me.
You chase me.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me,
rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
Your love is fierce. Hallelujah. Come on, sing like a tidal wave.
Rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You surround me.
Over me, rushing in.
Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Come on. Go inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. We worship you, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes, amen. Yes, hallelujah. 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 Come on. Our God reigns this morning. I said our God reigns. Yeah.
Ooh, our God reigns. Our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns.
Again, and as we sing it again, I want you to realize this morning that you are prophesying to every demon, every particle of hell that could be around, that our God, the God that you serve, is not dead, yet he is alive. And guess what? He reigns. He rules. We're calling that as it is. And we know that without a shadow of a doubt, there will come a day when our God, the one supreme God, the only God, will rule and reign over everything and anything in the name of Jesus. Come on, declare it with me this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We honor you. Oh, we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt.
Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Come on, sing it again. Sing worthy.
Worthy is he.
Sing a new song. The words that have been spoken into this body's lives in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that your word is seed, that Jesus, by the power of the spoken word and your word, our lives are transitioned. Father, we bring, Lord Jesus, we bring the word to the top of our lives and submerge the world in Jesus' name. And we declare that we are word people. We believe in you and what you declare, and that your word is truth. Father, I thank you that you're raising a body of believers who are not going to be moved by this world, but will be moved by you. So, Lord, we thank you this morning for healing. We thank you, God, for deliverance. We thank you, God, that you are a powerful king. Lord, we speak to any spirit of infirmity that is in this room. Hear us now in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in Jesus' name. I command ears to open, eyes to see. I command right now, Father, even headaches to dissipate and disappear. I declare in the name of Jesus, bones, even to the marrow, be made whole by the power of God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are a powerful King. And just as easy as we ask forgiveness and you forgive us,
is as easy as we ask for healing and you heal us. For it is the same covenant. Oh, hallelujah. I felt the anointing on that. Some of you got that one. Let me say it one more time. Somebody else needs to get this. As easy as it is to say, Jesus, forgive me, and you know your sins are forgiven, is as easy as Jesus, heal me, and your sicknesses are gone. Father, I thank you that your word is true, and we honor you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus, for buying us back, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you say hello to three or four folks that you don't know. Don't be a snob today. Don't just sit down. Don't be a snob. Go find somebody you don't know.
Who was and is and is.
Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Don't just sit down.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore. Rainbows of living color, flashes of light.
Men, one of the greatest things you can have is food and fellowship and Bible learning. So we want to let you know that Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. John's Mission Center, you'll be having men's ministry every single week. Join us. It's one of the best nights you'll ever have.
HT, guess what? We got our annual Harvest Festival coming up. It's October 31st. We're coming right here at your local church from 6 to 8 p.m. Guess what else we're doing? Trunk or treat. That's when we're putting candy in the trunks and we're treating these kids. Bring your friends, bring yourselves, bring your kids, of course. We're gonna have lots of fun for our annual Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. Make sure you're here.
Pastor has impacted me. I was struggling in my life, and it was really hard for me to try to connect myself where I was in my walk. I just felt dry and dead. And I came to him one day and asked him, I said, Pastor, I need your help. I said, I don't know what to do next, what my next step is. He invested in me, and we started doing devotions every day, and he's really invested in me a lot. He had faith in me, and he's just spoken to me. It's been a constant thing. It's always encouraging me and building me up. My life has changed so much. It's just incredible. My family life has just blown up. It's just amazing. Can't do nothing but thank him for everything he's done and who he has. And Christ for leading him to me. And me leading me to him.
Hallelujah. Woo. And there were none sick among them. Everyone that came, he made whole. Thank you, Jesus, for healing being our portion. We just want to welcome all of the guests to the house today. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for participating with the presence of God today. If you're a first-time guest, if you could just raise your hand, we have a gift for you, and we would love to get connected with you. So thank you very much. If you're a first-time guest, we would love to get a gift to you. So right in the front section here, over here. Thank you so much for being with you. Let's just give them a hand clap and welcome them. I love it when first-time guests sit in the front section. It's so awesome. And if you're watching via live stream, we just welcome you also as our family. Thank you so much for connecting from all over the world. We love you, and we know that even though you're distant from us, that God's word was sent to heal them. So you can even be healed right where you are watching from. Receive today the healing of the Lord. Thank you for joining in. Uh-oh, I took over. Sorry, I am so excited about God. He is awesome, isn't he? He is such a good, good Father. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I want to read just a quick passage, Psalms 35:27. And it just says that the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So why does he tell us to tithe? He tells us to tithe because he knows when we come in alignment with his word and obey his word, that blessing and supernatural favor are all over our finances, and his greatest pleasure is your prosperity. So that's why he asks us to tithe, simply because he loves to see his children blessed and prosperous. He is a good Father in every single way. Oh, he's so awesome. I love God so much. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. We'll make a supernatural declaration. Let's just give God some praise real quick and thank him for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our healing. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. And thank you for prospering us. Thank you, God, that you are so good to every one of us. Not one left out. Every single one of us. You are so awesome, God. Let's declare from his word, Deuteronomy 28. Repeat after me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Yes.
We've been talking this whole year on seed. And I really need to get into this message today. Because it's a message that I believe will help some of you understand how to activate the seed. Turn to someone and say, it's not just that you put it in the ground, but you have to activate it. Activating the seed is important, and all seed is activated by faith. One of the challenges that we have in the American church is the fact that we don't have a lot of faith. T.L. Osborne made the declaration. He said, the one country I hate preaching in is America. He said, because we put our faith in so many other things besides Jesus. He said, it's very hard. In fact, he's preached more people face-to-face, except for, I believe, now Reinhard Bonnke. Well, he'll preach, and at that point when he was ministering in third world countries, he'd have 1 million-plus people in one service. They say it would take an hour to walk around the perimeter of just the people. And he would never be able to lay hands on everybody. It's impossible. So what he would do is he would stand up, release the power of God, and then all of a sudden wheelchairs, people would be jumping out of wheelchairs, and people would be throwing their crutches, and it miracles, blind eyes open, every kind of miracle you could ever imagine was being released. Well, why is that? He said, because in the other countries, they put their faith more in Christ. And you see, in the body of Christ, we've got to get back to believing the Word is above all things. I said, we've got to get back to believing the Word is above all things. We've got to have an insatiable hunger for His Word. We've got to have an insatiable hunger for His Word. We hunger and thirst for many other things besides Jesus. But in these last days, the Bible says that sin is going to abound. And what will happen is the love of many will wax cold. What does that mean? That means that in the last days, there's going to be such an onslaught of the diabolical and with sin and deception that those who once you would think would never turn their back on the Lord will walk away. What happens is the devil is after your faith. He's not after your bank account. He's not after your health. He's not after your family. The devil is after your faith. Because if the devil can destroy your faith, then all activation for the supernatural is now gone. So we must have a passion again to get back to his word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we're in the word, the more faith we'll have. The more faith we have, the more our seeds can be activated and grow and mature. And that when the enemy comes to attack, the Bible says the devil's a roaring lion, seeks to whom he may devour. But I love this factor, the verse before. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But when you don't understand the rights of a believer, when you don't stand in the seeds of heaven, when you don't live within the constitution of the believer, the sons and daughters of God, then we will always live substandard and have to accept the world's mindset rather than God's mindset. Are you out there this morning? Our verse for the year is Psalms 1:3, and it says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither. Shout that with me. My leaf shall not wither. Come on, tell somebody, my leaf shall not wither. That immediately tells you that there will be times when the leaf will want to wither, where trials and tribulations will come upon your life, when trouble will come. But it is time to trouble your trouble. It is time to look trouble in the face and start declaring the word of God. Start declaring the truth. For the truth is what makes you free, not our conceptions. You see, as believers, when we get back to believing, everything changes for us. One of the factors you'll find about Jesus is he always said this to those who came to be healed. So be it as unto your faith. Faith is a mighty key to stepping into the constitution. For whether you like it or not, with our mouths, we actually declare our belief system. We actually declare where our faith is. Because many times, and some of you came up and said this, and I'm not dogging you, no one knows but you and me, but you said, I have this. And I had you turn around and say, I no longer have this. Why did I do that? Because when you said, it is mine, you put faith in the diagnosis rather than the truth. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29, and Jesus said, everybody shout Jesus. Come on, how many of you know Jesus knows what he's talking about? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain of the head. But when it ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Whether you like it or not, whatever seed that you have is activated by faith. Now, there are many different types of seed. There's seeds of doubt, and there's seeds of believing the truth. Many of us will rather, and many times, because of either lack of teaching or lack of faith because we're not in the word, because the devil has us loving so many things more than God himself, that we're always running about. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved, but what I'm saying is that your faith is weak. The problem when your faith is weak, man, when your faith is weak and trouble starts to trouble you, what do you have to rely on? We've got to get back to recognizing that this is not a tennis game. This is not about you and I just joined in a church or being a little Christianette, but we are literally in a fight. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. That the enemy desires to destroy you. For the devil has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. The only way that you can have life abundant is to live in the faith and reception of what Christ has purchased for you on Calvary, rather than believing what the devil is putting in your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
You see, where faith is released, it determines the activation or deactivation. With your faith, you can activate the truth. And when you put faith in doubt, you actually take God's promises and you throw them away. Every one of us are in the same position. It doesn't matter whether you're in the pulpit or whether you're brand new born again. It doesn't matter how many years you've been saved. Every one of us, our maturity level is not determined by how many years we've been going to church and throwing George Washington in the plate. Our maturity depends upon how well we know the word and where our faith level is. Because where our faith level is determines our capabilities of lying within the blessings of God, that even when the enemy would come on, even though there would be an attack of the enemy, an assignment, we can raise the standard. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the word. What did the word come to do? The word came to establish the very essence of heaven so that we could look at the word, the living Rhema word of God, and declare, this is God's will for my life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. Shout guaranteed. You see, when you have a guarantee about something, you don't doubt it. When you know it's going to be delivered, there's not a doubt. And this is a strain and a struggle for many of us. Because we've lived so much in the world that it's much easier to believe what you can see rather than what you cannot see. We have a very unique noise in the far back corner. Faith is, I believe it before I touch it in the natural. It is not, I'll believe it when I see it. This last week I was praying for something, and I prayed for it, and then I started praying for it again. And he says, what, you didn't believe you got it the first time? I was tempted to have somebody call in. I was going to call somebody and have them pray with me concerning it. And he said, oh, what do you mean? You see, you really didn't believe because you think you got to get somebody else to help. It's been a very interesting, challenging week for me because my faith has been challenged. And many of us live within the faith that we have. But when trouble starts to trouble, then what happens is your real faith emerges. What you really believe comes to the top. And it also shows where your root baseline is, because where your baseline is ultimately where you'll reside. And many believers' baseline is not in the word of God, but upon the circumstances in their lives. And we govern our lives. We'll say the scripture. We'll even pray the scripture. But we don't believe the scripture. And God is saying it is time now to be believers. And it's time to look doubt in the face and start doubting it. It's time to declare that the truth is above every single fact that's on this planet. Can I hear an amen? Shout this with me. My facts have to submit to the truth. When you became born again, everything changed for you. When you accepted Jesus in your life, everything changed for you. What does that mean? That means old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means as a believer, we went from being governed by this world to be governed by God, the King. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives through me. We've made a decision when we said, Jesus, come into my life. It wasn't just a fire hazard, get you out of hell quick thing. It was you and I have made a decision that we want to change kingdoms. We want to change kingdoms. I no longer want to be governed by the kingdom of this world. I want to be governed by the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. So what's happened is there are many times not a paradigm shift when we say, Jesus, come into my life. But we accept Christ as our Savior. We truly love God. We are going to heaven, but yet we have not changed kingdoms. By not changing kingdoms means that we're still ruled and owned by this world system. How many of you know this world system is corrupt? Adam and Eve, when they sinned, there was no sin in the garden. Sin came after their sin. There was no sickness in the garden. It came after their sin. There was no lack in the garden. It came after sin. Every major need that you have in your life can be embodied within those three dimensions. And in every single situation, we will find that nothing started them until Adam and Eve decided to turn their back on the Lord and to join another system. We must determine that we are going to be people that are governed by the Constitution called the Word of God, and we hold the Word of God above all circumstances, and the truth always supersedes even the facts of this natural realm. Now, this is a challenge for many of us, because what's happened is we've lived so long being dictated to by our circumstances and our situations that we would rather believe them because they're touchable and tangible, rather than believe that if I step out in faith, even I can call those things which are not as though they already are, that even before I can touch it, it is already mine. We live in this realm of the touch, but we don't live in this realm called the kingdom. So we live in a standard that is sub-kingdom. Again, I'm not saying you're not born again, not saying you don't love the Lord, but there must come a time in your, I pray, there'll come a time in your life when you actually start believing that the Bible is more than just a religious text, something that the preacher preaches from behind the pulpit, some nice little saying that we get an antidote. But I want you to know today that God holds his word even above his name, that God's word is yea and amen, that the Constitution is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's time to get back to being people of the word of God and saying, I will not be governed by what I can see or touch, but I will be governed by the Word of God. Amen. Facts are undeniable realities. God has never told us to deny facts. He's told us to declare truth, because truth always trumps facts. 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 Second Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by truth always trumps. Getting back to be people of the Word brings us back to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Jesus, I love the truth. But the fact is, Jesus, I love the truth, but the fact is, we put more faith in fact than we do in truth. And God is saying, listen, if you want to be governed by that world, that's your choice. But I know there's got to be a remnant of people that are stubborn enough to be able to look a fact in the face and say, I declare the truth over this situation. I'll not be governed. I'll not be motivated. I'll not be owned by this situation. But I'm declaring the truth of the Word of God, because the truth will make me free. You see, sights are facts. God never told you to deny a fact. He told you to declare truth. But how can you declare truth if you don't know truth? You wonder why the enemy works so hard to keep you out of church. I looked at Pastor Dan last week and I said to him, where did all the people go? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, 2 weeks ago, there were about 800 people in the house on a Sunday morning. And last Sunday, there were about 680. I said, where did all the people go? He said, oh, Pastor, we call them and they just tell us they're on this vacation. They're doing this little thing. Oh, they're busy. They're running a race. You know, someone told me today they were running this this race. I said, I wanted to say break a leg. Because ultimately what the declaration is, I hold this world above the truth. For when you're passionate enough about the truth, that nothing will be able to be in your way. You'll make decisions that I've got to have the truth inserted in my spirit. I've got to have the word of truth that is life to my veins. I've got to have the word of truth that is God speaking to my heart. I've got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the excuses in the world will never hold a muster when all of a sudden hell starts licking your toes in a situation in your life, but yet you don't have enough faith. We've got to be people of faith, which means you've got to be people of the word. And you really don't know where you stand until it starts to be attacked. Jesus is the word. The word is the words of God, the creator. The words of the creator are above the facts of the fallen creation. Jesus is the word. The word is the words of God, the creator. The words of the creator are above the facts of the fallen creation. Therefore, the word of God is above the facts of the natural because we live in the supernatural. This is a dissection between Christians who just want to go to heaven and those who want to know God. There is a dissection here. And the issue is that nobody can make this decision for your life. But I'll guarantee you when hell starts licking that part of your life, all of a sudden if you do not have the baseline, then you're always going to be whining, complaining, or simply agreeing with the diagnosis. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I said, whose report will you believe? We walk in truth and are not governed by facts. Well, I thought I was just going to church. That's the problem. God never created an institution. He created a living organism. God never created a place that you can come join. That's why we eliminated any type of membership. Well, can I become a member? No! Pastor, I like membership. Wrong church. Well, why don't you have membership? Because the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now part of the household of God. You are now part of the Constitution, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not some mamby-pamby little man or woman walking on this planet, but you are the called, the anointed, the appointed, the one who carries the truth, and the truth will make people free. And that no matter where you are not just some survivor, but that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But you cannot be a conqueror if you do not have faith. He strives to keep you out of the house of God. He strives to keep you busy with this world. Why? Because if he can get you governed by this world and facts, then there's no problem defeating you. Remember, the devil can't defeat you. The only power the enemy has over a believer is what we give him. And the only thing that he knows that he is defeated by is the word of God. He'll even twist it for you to try to get you to believe what he's saying, a half-truth. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted of the devil for 40 days, fasting and prayer? The devil came to him with three temptations, the one that Adam and Eve lost with, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he came to Jesus with the words of God, or half-words of God. And if Jesus had believed what Lucifer was lying with, he would have landed in the same posture as Eve in the garden. which opened the door to sickness, death, and disease. Ooh, this is good. You need to buy this. Or get online, watch it 3 or 4 more times. Because this is one, if you just let pass through your ears once, you're missing it. We've got to make a decision that we're going to be people of faith. Now, if I was going to grow a big church, I would tell you today, you're all people of faith. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you read the Bible or you sin, everything is beautiful. In its own way. Across our nation, buildings are being filled this morning with lies and prophelies that people are standing up and declaring that man, sin, and sickness and all these things are okay, that they're from God. Some of preachers are preaching they're from the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that no trespasser is allowed on my property. No trespass of sin. No trespass of sickness. No trespass of poverty. These things are not allowed in my life. And when they attack, it's time to take an aggressive posture in the spirit, then stand in faith. But you cannot stand in faith if you don't have faith. Oh, I do want to say this because it's come back to me twice while I'm preaching. Your faith is nullified when you go to the Father when you're living in sin. Obedience is better than sacrifice. See, truth is unchangeable. I put this on a line the other day. Truth never changes. It is constant, consistent, and is not changed by environments or circumstances. Truth only is activated or deactivated through reception or rejection of the truth. Well, Pastor, you know, how does this really apply to me? Because hell's licking, you're going to lick your toes. Some of you are going to have trials in your life that, you know, they're definitely not from the Lord. They're straight up from hell. Because Satan, he hates you, man. Satan despises you, and his whole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He hates the fact that you love God. He hates the fact that you're here this morning. In fact, some of you are here, and you had to fight to get to the house of God because the devil read my notes before I was going to get up here and preach. There are sick that never walked in the door because the devil knew what we were going to do this morning because I let the staff know, get ready. And you see, he made sure that they remained in bed, did not get prayer, therefore did not get deliverance. Well, that sounds really diabolical. Exactly. That is exactly the truth. We fight not against flesh and blood. We fight not against flesh and blood. This is not about this world and its system. The problem is when we put more faith in the world system than we do in the Word of God. And when we put more faith in the Word of God, then we come out above the world. You see, what I love so much about the difference between facts and truth is this. Facts determine the reality you're in, but truth bends reality with the supernatural. Truth bends reality with the supernatural. Holy Spirit, help him grab it. Truth bends reality with the supernatural. So a fact that is there is a reality, but that reality is only as powerful as you allow it to be above the truth. So if the reality is saying this, but the truth says this, where you place your faith activates or deactivates heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. My goodness, people chant that all the time. They use that as a nice religious script all the time. But one day I pray the revelation of the Holy Ghost will come in your spirit, and it will be more than just a nice little saying, a nice little religious statement, something that Jesus said in the Bible. It will come alive in you. Then the truth will make you free. It's time to bring heaven to earth. It's time to bring the manifestation of what God's promises are to right here, right now. But it cannot happen if you put more faith in your reality than the truth. 2 Kings chapter 6. How practical can this get? See, we usually wait for God to bend realities with some big event. But God will bend a reality if you'll put your faith no matter what size of the event. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 5 through 7, but it happened that as one was cutting down a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Oh no, my master, it was borrowed." The man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron axe head float. Hallelujah. "Pick it up yourself," he said. "I made it float, I'm not picking it up." So he reached out with his hand and took it. How practical is this? That no matter what situation you're going through, no matter what reality comes your way, when you find that the truth is above the reality, even though it might be you cannot find your keys in your house, I want you to know that God, by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost knows where your keys are. And if you ask Him, He'll even reveal your keys. And if you lose your axe head, He'll make it float. Why? Because the truth bends your realities. And when you put your faith in the truth and in the name of Jesus, there's nothing you cannot do. Some of you have had horrible groups of people coming after your life, and maybe family members, man, they just torn you down, and you think, man, I just don't know what to do. Man, all of a sudden there are people that are after you. You don't know what to do. But in the same chapter, verses 15 through 17, and the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, and behold, there was an army with horses and chariots encircling the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Oh no, master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." What you cannot see, the truth is more of a reality than what you're staring at. But he couldn't see it because he wasn't a man of faith. Actually, turned out to be a thief. So the man of God prayed this, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Bible says that all of a sudden he did not see the reality, but he saw the truth. The truth was the armies of heaven were greater than the armies of the Syrians, and that God, with him, there's nothing impossible, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No matter what comes against you, they might come seven ways, but they're going to flee in many ways. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. It does not matter as long as you learn to bend reality with truth. That means you have faith in God's word. You remember the man, Gate Beautiful, Acts chapter 3, 1 through 9? He was lame from his mother's womb. They would pick him up, drag him out to the Gate Beautiful, set him down, and he'd beg. There was no hope for him. That's the reality. The reality was there was no hope for this man. He was tagged a beggar. They even had special clothes for beggars. He had to wear a special outfit. He was placed at the same gate. And this is what he did all day. "Please help me. Please put money." You see, he was one that everybody gave up on. He was one that there was no hope for. The reality was he was going to be a beggar for the rest of his life. But I want you to know one day in Acts chapter 3, the men of God, the people of God came in his presence and he said this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, I command you to rise and walk." You see, his reality changed that day. The truth touched his life. How about this one? I can only tell a few. Acts chapter 27 through 12. This is a lot like this church. Paul was preaching. And he preached so long, he preached past midnight, that a boy fell asleep. He didn't just fall asleep. The Bible says he went into a deep sleep. And he happened to be sitting on the windowsill. And when he fell into a deep sleep, the Bible says he fell over backwards, fell three stories out of that house, and landed on his head and died. Here's Paul preaching a dynamic message. And one of the parishioners dies. Listen, the dude didn't just fall down and collapse, but the man literally fell out of a three-story building. How many of you know that could disrupt the service? You see, Paul knew this principle. He knew that reality would be bent by truth. So he said, hey, don't worry about it. Bring him up to me. He grabbed him and he said, the life's in the boy. And boom, the kid came from death to life. How is that possible? Because realities are subjected to truth. If you believe. Jesus said to all these people, if you believe, you shall have what you ask. If you say unto this mountain, let's read it. Matthew 21, 21. Oh, this is a different one. 17, 17. But we'll read this one. It's just good. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but you will also say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, in faith, you will receive. How about Jesus? Here's the fact. Jesus was crucified. He was not just crucified. He was not just beaten, bloody, and murdered. But he was one that as he's hanging on that tree, they stuck a spear through his side. Blood and water came mixed out, which is the pericardium being pierced. He was literally dead. He was then mummified with over 100 pounds. But you see, the world thought he was dead. Even some of the disciples didn't get the fact that the truth, because Jesus made the declaration, if you kill me in 3 days, I'll rise from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the truth was being declared, but it was not received in deposit, even by the disciples. See, that's why you can sit here and you can hear and not receive. That's why Jesus could have a throng of people around him. But that one woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. Who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Can't you see the entire crowd thronging you, touching you, bumping against you? He said, no, don't you get it? Somebody pulled the power out of me. Somebody pulled the truth out of me. Somebody just bent their reality. The woman who everybody gave up on, she spent all of her money. There was no more hope, but yet she made a declaration. If I can touch the truth, if I can hang on to the truth, if I can get from the truth, I'll be made free. And that reality that she had, that everybody had given up on, there was no more money to spend, twisted. Because the truth bends realities. Some of us live so much in facts. You see, while Jesus was dead, or we thought he was dead, he wasn't dead at all. The Bible says he was preaching captivity to the captives. He was taking the keys of death and hell from the devil. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, he was making an open show in the spirit world. You see, what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. You see, the reality does not hold back the truth. And the truth was moving. The truth is active. Even when you cannot see what the truth is doing, when you stand upon the truth, you plant the seed of truth. You don't know how it works. You might not know exactly how it's going to come to fruition. But the verse we read this morning was simply this, that the farmer cast cast seed, and then he goes to bed, gets up in the morning. He doesn't understand how it works, but it works. Why? Because the seed of heaven, the seed of the truth, will always, when planted on good ground, will bring forth the fruit. It cannot be stopped as long as you don't believe in the reality more than the truth. See, some of you are looking at impossible situations. That's fact. But Jesus made the declaration, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the truth. Doctors gave you a negative report? Fact. By his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not healed today. I was healed already 2,000 years ago. And by God, in Jesus' name, I receive my healing. That's the truth. Financially, you're struggling? Fact. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Truth. See, whatever seed you activate, fact or truth is what will be evident in your life. This is the challenge, isn't it? Because it is much easier to believe in your reality than it is to believe in the truth. Because you can touch your reality. You can touch it. You sat in the chair this morning, you didn't say, I hope it holds me. You had faith to know it was going to hold you. But that is not as real as the truth. But we put all of our faith in our realities. If there's ever been a time, especially in these last days, that you got to be on point with your walk with heaven, it's now. The devil is after you to destroy you. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But he'll get many of you. Well, how is that? Because you choose not to build your faith. And when that trial comes in your life, when the enemy's assignment comes in your life, instead of standing firm because you have, well, the Bible says, build your house upon the rock. Instead of building your house upon the rock, you've built your house upon the sand. What's the sand? The ways this world works. And all of a sudden, the storms come, the winds blow, and the rains start bantering. And now you're sitting back in the house and going, well, I really don't have a good foundation. Dear Lord, don't wait for the trouble to get your foundation. Get it now. Pursue your foundation. Make sure it's the strongest foundation. Because when hell starts coming, you have something to stand on. You've got a firm foundation that no matter what is said, no matter what the reality, you've got the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will not be running around, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but you'll stand firm in the kingdom of God. And no matter what weapon formed against you, it shall not prosper. But you cannot do that without faith. Listen now, it's time to start doubting your doubts. It's time to start declaring the truth. It's time to start living in faith. For I walk by faith and not by sight. You can't do that by being a part-time believer. I could preach all day. I could preach all day. Because here is a reality. Believers drop off the map all the time. And the reason they drop off is because they choose not to build their faith. And then they blame God. God didn't do it, you did. God didn't choose, God didn't declare you sick. He would never put sickness on your body. Why would he put a trespasser on your property? If he paid for it, why would he put it on you? If he freed you from poverty, why would he bring poverty in your life? If he freed you from sin, why would he bring temptations of sin in your life? So the question is, whose report will you believe? Well, Pastor, I'm weak in faith. Lord, help our faith. The disciples prayed that. Increase our faith. Careful, because I could preach a whole nother message right now. Your faith can be measured Jesus said to some, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. He even said to a Gentile, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And then the disciples said, increase our faith. Where's your faith? More in reality or more in the truth? No one can choose that for you. That's your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Is it your trouble or is it his? If the truth has said you're free, are you free? Well, Pastor, the symptoms are still there. Pastor, the problem is still there. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua, see, I've already given you the city. The walls were still up. The men were still mocking. An impenetrable force. But God said, days before the walls ever came down, see, I've already given you the city. Can you see your mountain? Can you see it coming down? What you see is what you receive. Today, I ask you a simple question. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to see quickly that without Christ, you cannot go to heaven. Not all dogs go to heaven. You've watched the movie. There's a bunch of beliefs that you can just do whatever you want, live any way you want, believe any belief you want. All religions go to the same place. That's a lie from hell. The truth says there's only one way. That is by receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Today, if you do not know him as your Savior today, your reality can change. You can go from death to life. The truth will make you free. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Everything changes from this day forth. Today, if there's a sin in your life, you know you're not right with the Lord. If the trumpet sounded, you're not sure. And you want to make sure. Today, I want you to raise your hand up. I need Jesus. I need to make sure that I'm going to heaven. Come on, is that you? Get your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Anyone else this morning? Come on, I'm not going to wait real long. Oh, let's bend your reality today. Let's all stand to our feet. I didn't even do the countdown. How do you like that? You want to know why I didn't? Because if the preaching of that word can't get you to change your reality, that means simply this. You have chosen to live in the world system. And therefore, you'll pay the world's price. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar if I could have them come now. Today, maybe you're facing a mountain. You just need someone to agree with you. Whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your health, no matter what it is, and you need God to move your mountain. You need a miracle. You need your reality to be bent by the truth. The prayer team's going to be here. If you raise your hand to rededicate or get born again, you'd love to accept Jesus. I want you to come right out of your seat. I want you to meet me right up here. You see me right up here? That's all right. Grab somebody beside you. Say, hey, I need you to go with me. I'm just not sure what I'm going to do. Come on. I need you to step right out. Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Who cares what anybody says? Who cares? Who cares? Get up here. Who cares? Just, there's nothing wrong with that, dude. Come on, five. Come on, get up here. Come on, get up here. You know you're not sure you took your last breath if you go to heaven. Is there anyone? Come on. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. I'm proud of you both. Proud of you both. Amen. Right on over here, young lady. I'm going to pray with you real quick. Is that fair? I want you to pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, today I'm changing my reality. I want the truth. So no matter what sin I've struggled with, what my past might be, Today I will be changed by the blood of Jesus. I receive right now Jesus in my life. I'm never going back. I'm never going back to the world. I'm going all the way with you. And today I make a declaration. My reality has been changed by the truth. Jesus is my truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Minister Randall right here. Some of you came to rededicate, but he wants to, if you just gave your heart to Jesus for the first time, I'd like you to go with him right now. Just follow him right on over there, right there. There you go. There you go. Proud of you. Amen. How many of you know we love you in this house? Our goal is to equip you that no matter what the devil brings in your life, you'll be able to say this: for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Be blessed. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you lead at least one person to Jesus this week. Serve Jesus. Listen now, if you're a guest here, we'd love to meet you personally right in this side room. We have a guest reception. Bring the person who brought you. We'd love to meet you.
Will I walk by faith each step, by faith to live, and by faith I put my trust in? Will I walk by faith each step, by faith to live, and by faith I put my trust in him.